Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Two Guys One Cup, the FPL podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm Shez. Alongside me, I've got my co-host Sham. The Premier League is back and we have lots to get through. So Sham, what's on the agenda?
Hi guys, so we've got a packed episode. On the agenda today, we've got a review of our team. So that's mine and Shez's team, as well as our No Champs League team. We're going to go through the top five in the mini league, a game week one review, a couple of things that we've learnt from this game week, our watch list, so players that we're looking at, a quick view on transfers in and out and some price rises, a game week 2 preview, and finishing off with listener questions. So, Shez, how did you get on?
Solid first week, actually. I'm pretty happy with my performance. 86 points. Ordinarily, I'd probably be ecstatic, but I had 21 points sitting on my bench. So
Wan-Bissaka?
Wan-Bissaka, yep. Tompkins as well. But I mean, I had three, well, essentially I'm including Shaw in that, but three premium defenders. So, you know, you make mistakes in FPL and that's what it's all about. It's about learning from those and taking it forward.
At least you got the price rise from Wan-Bissaka though, even though it's on your bench.
So. Yeah, there have been already a few price rises, which I guess it's always expected in your first few weeks. So in terms of my team, it's pretty much my defence that got me most of my points, or certainly almost half of what I secured. So I got 15 with Mendy, who looked very impressive going forward, 11 with Robertson. Shaw didn't keep a clean sheet, but thankfully he scored. As you know, I was at the game, so that was a double celebration for me as soon as I saw him slotting that in. And of course, Alisson kept a clean sheet.
I think the WhatsApp you sent me was like Shaw with like three kisses. Yeah.
Honestly, I
and I was like fucking bastard.
I think I cheered the loudest in the stadium when Shaw scored that goal. You know, it was a double bonus for me. So no, they all did really well. My midfield, I mean, it was a bit of a mixed bag there. Captain Salah, you know, he got a return, so I can't complain. Richarlison was excellent on his debut, but then unfortunately Mahrez missed the 59 minutes. I mean, I've already had one of those last season. I really could do without, you know, one of those this season. And Lucas Moura as well. Lucas I was quite disappointed with because Tottenham looked pretty strong in the game, but he just didn't look like he was getting, you know, the right sorts of positions. So he's already on my sort of watch list to potentially remove from my team. Forward line really didn't do great, but I don't think many people's forward line did great. I mean, how many strikers scored this week? Was it about three?
I think the top scoring striker was Wilson with 8 points.
Yeah.
Which tells a story.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about Wilson. But we'll go into that later. So Aguero 2, King 2, and Zaha was the only one that got something for me. But he picked up a yellow card as well, so didn't even get me a full six.
Any regrets from your team?
Yes. Because you know, you probably know about this because I've been going on about this. So initially I had Wilson in my draft sort of a day or two before game week one deadline. I was reading up and the whole sort of FPL community was saying, you know, King is on penalties, he possesses more of a threat, and they convinced me to change my mind. So I spent an additional 0.5 to lose 6 points.
So basically what you're saying is the Twitter community fucked you over.
I can't blame the Twitter community because they helped me with other areas of my team, but you know, it just goes to show you that you've got to go with your gut sometimes. And but hey, I can't complain. 86 points.
What's your overall rank?
Overall rank is, good question, 122,000.
That's not bad for a first week.
Yeah, I mean, it's first week. That fluctuates considerably every week. And you've got a big smile on your face, which means you're probably going to tell me what your overall rank is.
I'm now waving my hands up and down because it's ready to talk about my team.
Go ahead.
So, for anyone that hasn't seen Twitter, on Friday night, I had the big almightiest of fuck-ups. Basically, I was sitting in the airport and the plane got delayed by 2.5 hours. It was 6:56, and I was just looking at Twitter and had my team open up on a fantasy website, and I just had a last minute, I don't know what possessed me, but I just decided to take out Moura and Kamara and put in Zaha and Hudson-Odoi. Anyway, the transfer went through at 6:59, but what it didn't let me do is it didn't let me change my team layout. So what that meant was is that Zaha was on the bench and Hudson-Odoi was starting. And I was obviously fuming. I was like, oh my God, I've done this. I've brought him in. I've got Zaha as second sub. I brought him in because I wanted him to start, obviously. But what that meant was Hudson-Odoi wasn't even in the squad, and I had Wan-Bissaka as my first sub, which meant that he replaced Hudson-Odoi straight away, and then Benderick didn't start, so then Zaha came in as well.
So how many points did you score?
So I got 97 points.
You jammy shit. You 97
points. Overall rank 23,877. I am ecstatic.
So you're like 100,000 less than me, and you scored 97 points.
Yeah.
11 points more than me. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show, you know, early on,
anything can happen. I think this is my best ever FPL start. Even 100,000 is a good start. I know it's not as good as mine, but...
Yeah.
But still, 23,000, like, 100,000 is still not...
Well, you're not going to have 100,000 fluky people, you know, are you? Yeah. Like, you making these random last-minute subs.
Listen... It all pays out in the end, right? So I go through my team. I only had two non-returners, and that was Fabianski with 1 point and Aguero with 2 points. Everyone else returned for me.
What happened with Fabianski's save points?
Well, do you know what? He got save points, but because he fucking conceded so many, they all went away. So that was pretty crap. I think that was my biggest mistake, was putting Fabianski in goal to start. But look, we've got Bournemouth next, so hopefully he can keep a clean sheet. So got Robertson with 11 points, Mendy at 15 points, Wan-Bissaka 12, Captain Salah with 16, Richarlison with 14, and then my big punt, which was Fraser, with 11 points. And I'm most pleased with him because he's been in my team the last couple of weeks, and he's one player I didn't want to take out. And when everyone was going on about King, I was like, no, I still want to keep Fraser. So I kept him in. Sanchez, which I'm really disappointed that brought him in, 5 points. To be honest, he was lucky to get an assist. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have got an assist. Zaha with 5, Firmino with 5, and then obviously Aguero with 2.
So wait a second. Did you bench Arnie?
No, I don't have Arnie.
You don't have Arnie? Wait a second. The guy you went on about all pre-season is not in your team.
Yeah, basically.
Do you not think you owe me and the whole Twitter community and all our listeners a big apology?
Listen, I had a last minute kind of like, do you know what, I don't want Arnie anymore. And it's quite funny. So I thought about this. We had a conversation that we like a couple of days before. And I was like, no, do you know what? I don't think I can have Arnie in. I'm having like last minute shudders on him. And then you were like taking the piss out of me. And then I went on Twitter as well, and I looked at Suj, who's from Planet FPL. He's also a West Ham fan, and he was also going on about Arnie as well. He was saying, oh, I've got cold feet. He ended up putting him in the end. But I just decided, look, I was worried about his first game. And it paid off, didn't it?
It paid off, but I think you owe me 3 points. Why? I told you to put Zaha in, and you got additional 3 points there.
Look, at the end of the day, I'm worried about the Bournemouth game because I think he'll bang in there, but Zaha, let's see how he gets on next one. But
guys have to play better than you did against Liverpool. You are awful.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely awful. I mean, Liverpool make a lot of teams look awful, but you guys, you know, you had no energy or anything.
I also read that Arnie had a late fitness test as well, which is one of the reasons why I was kind of unsure about him Friday night. So that's my team. I'm really, really happy with it, obviously. Best ever start. So we'll go on to our No Champs League team. So this is a team that we put together, which doesn't have any of the top four in. It's just something that we decided just to do, just to see, look, how does the team get on?
Yeah, and I've tried to identify a few gems that may be, you know, priced slightly lower than some of your sort of top four premium stars. So how did we get on with that team?
So Saturday night, we were top of the... We were on 54 points on Saturday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on Saturday night, we were top of our league.
Oh, it makes sense. Because Liverpool City,
yeah,
well, Arsenal,
yeah, Liverpool and City weren't playing.
Yeah.
So we were top, and I was like, yeah, we're smashing it. And we had 17 points from Tompkins and Fraser on the bench as well. But we finished on 61 points, which was just below... I think the average was 63, wasn't it, this week? So it was just below average. Overall rank of 1.3 million. So we had Patricio in goal, scored 2 points. Aspilicueta, Alonso, which is 6 and 11. Patrick Van Arnold, 11. Bellerin, 1. Ozil, 2. Richarlison, 14. Miljovic with 3. Jota with 5. Morata with 2. And captain Aubameyang with 4. And then we had Tompkins, Fraser, and Arnie on the bench. Look, it's not a bad start. We need to think of transfer as well this week.
You know, considering the bulk of my team is City and Liverpool, the fact that this team actually managed to get close to the average is impressive.
So we'll monitor that. We'll see. I don't know if we're going to make any transfers this week or just hold it. We'll see how it gets on. So that is our teams. We have our mini league as well. So I think we've got over 100 people in our mini league. I will go through the top five in our league. So fifth is me with 97 points. In fourth, we have Meef's Magic with 98 points. That is Mitham Magistia. Apologies if I get your pronunciation incorrect. In third, we have White Cream with 99 points, which is Nick George. In second, we have... I like this team name. Lap Dances with Wolves, 102 points, and that's Gabriel Penaloza. And in first, with 104 points, is Christian Olsen with Menjag Jillian Jidig as a team name.
What was that?
Menjag Jilliar G Dig. Do you want to pronounce it, Shez?
No, I'll leave it to you.
That was the team name. But well done, Christian. 104 points is fantastic as a starting week.
That's a great effort. And none of those guys used any of their chips, did they? Because I've seen some of the guys that have scored sort of 130 points and their overall ranks and stuff that, you know, have been using bench boosts and triple captains. But if you're scoring 100 points without any chips, that's fantastic. So well done, Christian.
So, let's go on to a game week one review. So, first game, Shez, United 2, Leicester 1. You're at the game, so it's probably best that you talk about this. What was your quick kind of highlights and players that you liked in the game?
So, obviously, I was ecstatic once United got the early lead. You know, as soon as we got the penalty in the third minute and we went up 1-0. Thought this is a great, perfect start, but it actually ruined the game in a bit. United just dropped back and let Leicester have possession. I mean, Leicester didn't look overly threatening with it. They did have a few chances. De Gea made a few good saves. But United looked reasonably comfortable. But they just didn't show much. I mean, Sanchez was awful and he got worse and worse as the game went on. I mean, he made one or two good passes, he could have had one or two assists, but he lost the ball so many times. I mean, you could almost count it. Every time he got the ball in the second half, he was losing possession.
Hard getting on his back.
They were. Because it was just, every time he got the ball, it was just like, don't pass to Sanchez because he's going to lose the ball.
Yeah.
So even Mourinho was getting agitated on the sideline. And the fact that he's keeping someone like Martial out of the starting lineup, it's frustrating for a United fan. In terms of Leicester, they looked okay. Vardy came on. He wasn't on for long, but he scored a goal. He looked reasonably okay. But the player that stood out for them was Madison, their new signing. And, he was making some good runs and he was causing us trouble. They were probably missing Vardy in that first half, someone just to put the ball away. Iheanacho had a chance, which went just wide. But aside from that, I think he was the only one that stood out for me, Madison.
Shaw
looked good. In terms of United, the midfield trio looked really good. So Pereira, Pogba, and Fred. and I was really impressed with Pereira, but he's played.
Fred should have been sent off. Did you see that challenge after? Did you see it when you at the game?
Yeah. So as soon as he got booked, I thought this guy's going to be a, you know, potential hazard here to receive a red card. So I was a little bit concerned, and I think Mourinho spotted that as well. That's why he sent Fellaini on. Although that's not much better, having him on. Shaw looked very good. He was making some good attacking runs. He was solid defensively. So I was really pleased with his performance. And I think Mourinho came out after the game saying, you know, he had a great performance too, which is promising because it means he should start game week two as well. Pogba was phenomenal, probably our best player on the pitch. You know, he ran midfield. He was getting forward. So I told you, you know, at 8 million, he's definitely someone to consider.
As an FPL asset.
As an FPL asset, definitely. I mean, especially if he's going to be on penalties, there was a little bit of a debate between him and Sanchez once we awarded the penalty, but Pogba stepped up and he, you know, took it very very well. So, I think he's actually had a price rise now, which we'll mention. So he's now 8.1, but he's definitely still worth considering.
So, in terms of FPL assets from this game, I think what we've said is Madison is a potential. Yeah, I think Madison's a watch and see. The problem is with PL, you just don't know what he's going to play in terms of his type. You know, is he going to play him in the same position? I think he also, Madison came off a bit early as well. I think Leicester's next 8 fixtures or something is ridiculous. They've got a really good run. I would like to see him in the next couple. Might miss some points, but I'd like to see Madison in the next couple and then decide to put him in maybe on a wild card.
I certainly wouldn't be bringing him in just yet. I need to see how he gets on, but he was definitely the spark in that Leicester team, so I think you're right, he's one to consider and to keep an eye on.
And Vardy, he just trickles in with the points, doesn't he? The problem is with Vardy is he doesn't score 2, 3, 4 goals a game like some people have got the, you know, potential to do, like the Manes and the Salahs. They you know, they've got the potential to go and score a hat-trick, whereas Vardy doesn't really have that. He'll get you a goal and that's pretty much it.
But that's the issue. He's priced at 9 million.
Yeah.
I mean, just to get you the odd goal, it's not every odd game or something like that, you know, it's a little bit expensive for me.
One thing that did worry me a bit was Manu's like XG against. So they had a 1.76 XG against. And that's really concerning, which basically means, you know, they've got a very high chance of conceding goals. And it worries me defensively, like if you compare that to Chelsea, City and Liverpool, they had less than 0.45, which means that from a defensive point of view, I'd rather, obviously, their players compared to United. So that's what worried me.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go on to City and Liverpool, and obviously those two teams will be dominating possession, so they're less likely to have teams shooting at them. But I do think you do need some United coverage. I mean, Mourinho is a notoriously defensive manager and they will keep some clean sheets. So I wouldn't necessarily have more than one play from United's back line. But if you've got one, I would probably hold on to him.
Okay. So next game is Spurs-Newcastle. So Spurs 1-2-1. Ali surprisingly played and so did Kane.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone really expected that.
And I think that's one of the things that we learned as well, was don't underestimate these World Cup players.
Yeah.
You know, even like Sterling from City came back as well, and these players we weren't expecting to come back. And I pretty much shit myself when I saw that Kane was starting. I was like, oh my God, because no one in the Twitter community had him, but he's on like 30% ownership, I think. So, you know, everyone else had him, but no one in the Twitter community did. And I was really worried about my rank. But he just looked really sluggish.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, both Ali and Kane came back, but Ali looked reasonably sharp, whereas Kane looked sluggish. He looked like, you know, he wasn't fully fit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, I did say that I will have Kane most likely at some point in the season in my team, but I need to see how he gets on next few weeks. But Ali looked sharp. Ali and Eriksen looked very good in the game.
Yeah, Eriksen played well. I thought he, you know, he had 5 chance created. I thought was it nearly Ali that he nearly set up or whatever. He had a really good chance to set someone up and they should have scored. But what was quite funny, you know, funny for me because I don't have any Spurs defenders, is that all of the Spurs defenders came in with a score apart from Ben Davies.
Yeah.
And I know a lot a lot of people have Davies in the team.
Well, I was going to say, if I was going for a Spurs defender before game week one, I probably would have gone for Ben Davies.
Yeah.
So that's probably a bit of a relief that, you know, he was the one that didn't actually score many points.
Anyone that we're looking at as potentials in this game? Anyone from Newcastle?
Kennedy looked lively.
Yeah.
He did look lively, but he's still raw talent.
They just have a really poor run of fixtures, though, Newcastle. That's my concern.
That's the thing. That's, we've already highlighted that in sort of the pre-season pods, that they've got a very difficult run in. So I'd stay away from Newcastle from the time being. In terms of Spurs, I'll definitely be keeping an eye on Kane and Ali. Ericsson's had, you know, a pre-season, a solid pre-season behind him, and he did look sharp. So those are the three, I mean, which I would consider they tend to be, you know, some of their highest point scorers as well.
Okay, so moving on to Bournemouth and Cardiff. Bournemouth won 2-0 with Fraser and Wilson scoring and King trolling you.
Yeah, this game just frustrates me. I don't even want to talk about this game.
The interesting thing here was Wilson scored and missed a penalty and an assist, and he still got a bonus point. Yeah, 8 points. So yeah, that was quite interesting, and he should have scored more, really. Scoring that goal would have got him a brace. So that
he did have chances, but that's the thing, is, you know, Wilson does play further up, and that's why I'm already regretting my decision to bring in King instead of Wilson. But the one player that did look very good and ran the show there was Fraser. Not quite sure why you had him in your squad. You never once mentioned him.
I did. I mentioned him on the last pod.
Did you?
Yeah, I mentioned him on the last pod. You know, he got... I'm pretty sure I did. He got a goal and 2 assists in the game before, in the pre-season game.
King scored 2 goals in the pre-season game, yeah, and did absolutely nothing.
I just wasn't impressed with him. The last half of Fraser's season, he played really well. He looked up for it. I don't know if you've seen him, he's got like no neck, he's like a short cone. I just like him. I think he's really, you know, I think he's a really good asset. And I just felt that it was just a gut feel, and like we said, sometimes you just got to go with your gut, and I just felt that Fraser was the one for me to get in at 5.5. I kind of shaped my team once I knew that, obviously the last week I kind of shaped my team roughly about him, because I was going to go for a like 2 4.5 midfielders, but I decided just to go for him because I really wanted him. He was man of the match, I think he got given. And then the notes here I got written for Cardiff are, Cardiff look shit.
Did you need to write that down?
That's the notes that I've got written down here. They just didn't do anything.
Well, I mean, in terms of the three teams that came up, they're the ones that invested the least. So you'd always expect them to struggle slightly. I mean, Warnock's a bit of a defensive manager, so it's just whether their home form can carry them through in the season. You know, can they keep things tight at home and then nick the odd goal?
One interesting thing here that I noticed was Ake got 2 bonus points. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Bournemouth won 2-0, and normally when a team win 2 or 3-0, the attackers obviously normally get all the bonus points, or the people that get the assist. He just got clean sheet and he got bonus points, which means that his baseline BPS is quite high. So it's definitely one to consider and keep an eye on. I don't think we should get a Bournemouth... I'm not saying to get a Bournemouth defender in, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably got that because of his passing accuracy.
Yeah.
Which has given him the bonus points. Bournemouth are a little bit gung-ho for me, especially sort of away from home. I'm not sure they'll be keeping too many clean sheets.
I think from an attacking point of view, they're worth at least one attacker with their...
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the player I want to keep an eye on is Fraser, but I've already got a Bournemouth attacking asset, and I'm not sure I want to double up there.
No, I wouldn't double up.
So it'd probably mean either removing King for Fraser and making one other change. But yeah, Fraser was the only one that caught my eye, essentially.
Okay, so moving on to Palace. So Fulham lost 2-0 to Palace. Wan-Bissaka and PVA came in with the 2 assists, which felt like a bit of a win for the Twitter community, because everyone's been hyping up Wan-Bissaka in the Twitter community and PVA, and they got the 2 assists and the clean sheet. However, loads of people benched him, which was a bit of a bite on the arse for them, including you, Chez. Well, I did as well, but he came in for me, so it was all right.
Yeah, you're a champion.
So it was all right. Schlupp, I think we spoke about him a couple of pods ago, out of position defender. He scored, and obviously Zahar as well. What did you think of the game?
I don't think the scoreline reflects the game.
Yeah, Fulham deserved to score.
You know, Fulham played well. They did not deserve to lose 2-0. You know, they had a few attacking chances and, you know, they looked good. You know, if you're going to ask me now, are Fulham likely to go down? I would say no. I mean, if I compare them to sort of Wolves and Cardiff, they looked the best out of the three for me.
Do you think so?
I did. The only thing is Palace showed their experience. You know, they could soak up the pressure when they needed to and they hit them on the break. I mean, Wan-Bissaka made Sessegnon look like, you know, he was a really slow player, and he's not. Yeah. He's lightning fast, but Bissaka just went past him. So Palace showed the experience. Palace looked good. Bissaka looked really good as right back. I mean, I'm hoping now that he can be one just to sort of set and keep, and I can just leave him there as 4 million, which means I can use funds elsewhere.
You know what? One interesting thing that I was watching on when I watched Match of the Day, and they did like a 3-minute montage on him, whatever. He used to be a right winger.
I was actually going to tell you that. Yeah. So you know, going forward, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And if Palace can pick up the odd clean sheet, then he's going to be racking up the points.
What one player that I was really interested from Fulham, I was really impressed actually, because historically I thought he was been shit, but Mitrovic played really well. He had 3 shots in the game, and he had a couple of really good chances, and Hennessy played fantastic. You know, like, they should have scored. I don't think he's one to bring in straight away, but he's especially with Spurs on the weekend, I think they've got, but definitely one to keep an eye on.
He looked lively, but I'm still not convinced about him. I mean, I guess I still remember him from his Newcastle days in the Premier League, where he just didn't do much.
Yeah.
But you are right, you know, he was involved in everything that was going through Fulham, sort of in the attack, which you'd expect as their main striker. But I'm not sure he's prolific enough to be in my starting 11.
Yeah, it was 7 shots, not 3. I think it was 3 on target. And I think I will bring it, potentially look at him in a couple of games. I've got Zahar there. If Zahar doesn't perform, you know, over the next few games, I might consider bringing him in. Maybe on the wild card, I don't know.
Zahar's one of the few strikers who actually scored in the first game.
No, I know, but I think in a couple of weeks, like, let's see how it gets on. You know, I'm happy with Wan-Bissaka from Palace. I think Palace have got a good run of fixtures, especially after the Liverpool game. But just because a player doesn't score doesn't necessarily mean that you don't bring him in. You know, there was people like Maddison who had a great game. Mitrovic had a good game. I would look at them as potentially bringing them. Just because they don't score doesn't mean that you can't bring
them. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's all very well having a good game, but if you're not bringing back some points for me, then...
That's a fair point. Okay, so should we move on from them? Next game was Chelsea and Huddersfield. So Chelsea won 3-0. I wasn't expecting that.
I thought it'd be a lot tighter, especially Chelsea away from home. There's been a little bit of uncertainty. Can they play the way Sarri wants them to play? But I must say they look really good. Actually, Jorginho in the middle of the pitch, he was spraying balls everywhere. I mean, his penalty was cool as ice. So
that was a hilarious penalty.
It was, but I mean, it's just whether he'll still be the penalty kick taker once Hazard comes back.
Yeah, I can't see.
So, but Chelsea did look good. I mean, Morata, I think, you know, we highlighted his lack of confidence, and that still shows there.
One thing that I noticed in the game was, you know, when last season Alonso was playing left wing back, and when Chelsea, obviously under Sarri now, they're 4 at the back, so Alonso's playing left back, I was concerned that that was going to affect him in terms of points. But actually, he had the most shots out of any Chelsea player. He had 3 shots, and he was playing a lot more attacking, obviously got the assist, ended up with 11 points. I think he's definitely still one to consider.
Definitely. I mean, he was the one that won the penalty, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was the one that was tripped in the box. So perhaps he still thinks he's playing a left wing back, but he was definitely pushing forward quite a bit.
One other player that I think we need to keep an eye on, and I think you disagree with me here, but it's Kante. 5 million. Obviously, he was defensive midfielder last year. This year, he's now playing. Jorginho is playing the last man behind, and Kante's got a little bit more freedom.
Yeah, I think he's just a sort of a game week one bandwagon. He's not, I mean, don't get me wrong, as a defensive midfielder, he's probably the best in the league, maybe one of the best in the world. He's phenomenal in terms of breaking play up, but in terms of going forward and shooting, he's not that great. He scored a good goal, granted, in the first game week, but for me, he's not an FPL asset. And also, I mean, if Jorginho is going to be holding that defensive midfield role, and Sarri wants two to be playing just a little bit further ahead of him, Kante could even lose his position there. Yeah, you still got Fabregas to come back in, Kovacic as well, and Barkley, so they're going to be rotating there. So,
do you think he's going to drop Kante though?
I don't think he'll drop Kante. I mean, especially not in the next few games, and especially if they play a big 16. But if they're playing one of the smaller teams and he wants Jorginho to sit with two central midfielders pushing further forward, Kante could be rotated there.
Fair point. What one last thing that I want to say on this game, which was again quite interesting, similar to what I said about Ake, is Rudiger ended up with 3 bonus points here. Again, his baseline BPS must be quite high in order to do that. Definitely one to consider. He is a bit more expensive at 6 million, and I think he also had 2 shots as well, so that's one to keep an eye on.
Especially if he's getting 3 bonus points.
Okay, so next game was Watford and Brighton. Watford ran the show here and won 2-0. The two main players were Pereira with 2 goals and Holabas with 2 assists. Chez, what do you think of the game?
Watford looked good, but we would expect them. I think we know their home form is generally pretty good. Brighton are not necessarily the greatest away from home, but even the fact they were playing away, I was slightly disappointed by them. I thought Gross didn't have the best of games, and he was someone that I was keeping an eye out on. But Watford, you know, they deserved the victory. Pereira, he looked good, 2 goals. Holabas, I mean, I remember a few seasons ago, I had him in my team and I just got really frustrated with him. So I'll see how he gets on, but, you know, how well are Watford going to do realistically this season? So that's my only concern with them.
Yeah, I think what concerns me about Watford at the moment is their fixtures are really crap. They've got a really bad run of fixtures. I think United and City or something, and then.
Well, they're away to Burnley next.
Yeah, after that.
Which is always going to be a difficult game.
Yeah, and one interesting stat is on Holabas. I was doing a bit of research on Holabas and was just looking at, and a guy on Twitter, Stephen Toomey, he put a stat out there that since Holabas has moved to Watford, he's had 24 yellow cards and 10 assists. And I think that's quite funny. 24 yellow cards, like that's ridiculous. And typically he got obviously a yellow card on Saturday, so I think that's a big worry, is how he's going to be able to keep up, possibly getting sending off and stuff. Are you considering Pereira?
Not at the moment. If he keeps scoring, then obviously he will come into consideration. But I just don't think Watford are going to be scoring that many goals. And he's 6.5, is he?
Yeah.
So, what am I going to do? Take out Richarlison?
Six.
Yeah. I mean, someone like Richarlison for me is going to outscore him.
Cool. And then the evening kickoff on Saturday was Wolves Everton. So 2-2. Good game, Chez. You're smiling at me.
Neves. I mean, you're the one that put me off him. And I told you this guy...
He's a defensive midfielder, man. He's a
defensive midfielder. But, you know, he can score goals. He scored 6 goals last season. You know, first game in, he scored a free kick. He got an assist. This guy can play football. He's not Kante.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, you know, he used to play for Porto at the age of 17.
He's not Kante? Kante's like one of the best players in the world.
But not as an FPL asset.
Yeah, but I don't think Neves is either. Neves, he's a defensive midfielder.
Kante would not have scored a free kick, which Neves scored. You know, Neves can play football. This guy, technically, is very good. Kante isn't. And that's the reason at 5 million. I mean, I think his price has already gone up. He's gone up to 5.1. And this guy, I told you, at 5 million, he's going to be the best 5 million asset this season.
Yeah, it depends if you want that type of player in your team. For me, I didn't want that type of player. I think he scored 6 goals last season. All 6 were outside of the box. He got 1 assist last season, and he's got 1 assist here. So, you know, I can't see him returning. If he's on penalties, then maybe he is a consideration, like Millie from last year. Yeah, Millie, I see him in a similar bracket. If you want that sort of Decore, Millie sort of player, Decore will shoot once in 4 weeks and that one shot will score. That will probably be Neves. But and if you want that type of player, then yeah, he's your man.
But as a fifth midfielder, 5 million, guy who's going to score the occasional goal, get the occasional assist, I think there are a few better than him.
Yeah, it depends how you set up, right? If how would you start him every game?
I wouldn't start him, but I think it's
so. How pissed would you be if he's on your bench then?
I don't mind that though. I'd rather have someone on my bench who I know will be getting me, you know, consistent returns at least
on your bench. Yeah, so he's not getting you any points.
Okay, but better than having someone who then needs to come on from my bench and scoring me 1 point or doesn't play at all.
Yeah, I think look, if you're rotating him with a fourth midfielder, so you're having a fourth and a fifth, or you know, a fourth defender or fifth defender, however, depending on obviously if you're playing 5 in the middle, 4 in the middle, whatever you're doing, then potentially, you know, you might want to bring him in. But I don't know, he's not for me.
Well, I mean, when they're playing the weaker teams like West Ham, then I probably would be playing him. So
Richarlison banged in for us. I was really, really pleased with that. 2 goals from him.
From two shots.
Yeah, I think...
You know, before that, he hadn't scored from his last 53 shots. And that's an actual stat. Which, I'm not sure if it makes me happy that, you know, obviously he's started really well this season, or leaves me slightly concerned that, you know, he can...
Yeah, that's the, I think Everton's XG in this game was like 0.71, which is ridiculous. Which, you know, I don't know... 2 shots, 2 goals, I'll take that.
Yeah, no. I mean, he took his goals well. I mean, his second goal, I don't know if you saw that, but he just sort of curled it around the defender.
Yeah.
And went right in the corner. And his first goal, he was just in the right place at the right time, but he poked that out well.
What did you think of Jota? Because I know a lot of people are talking about Jota and not sure whether or not they should take him out, swap him for Neves, switch him to Richarlison.
The reason I didn't bring in Jota for my game week 1 was because I was uncertain how he's going to perform in the Premier League. I don't think he had the best of games. So it's one of those where you've got to kind of go to see how he gets on. Would I make the knee-jerk reaction to switch him out? Probably not. I would probably give it a week or two, and if, you know, by game week 3 he's still not returning and you've got someone like Richarlison who's scored a few more goals, then yeah, I probably would. But I would probably give him at least another week to see how he gets on.
Just a quick one. One player that I really like, Wolves, was Jimenez. He had 3 shots. He scored a goal. I was really impressed with him. He's one on my watch list. When we talk about watch list later, let's move on. So, Liverpool 4, West Ham 0.
This was the game of the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. Shit. We played terrible.
Did you expect anything else?
Though? No. I think my prediction was like 4-1 or 3-1.
You're going away to Anfield. It's always going to be a difficult game. You know, you asked me, are Liverpool going to keep a clean sheet? And I told you yes. Simply because they're going to dominate the game. You're going to get very few chances. You know, they've got a solid back line. You know, Van Dijk, absolutely solid. They've got a keeper now who's confident, you know, who will make the saves.
What one thing that I didn't know until I was watching the game was Liverpool haven't conceded at Anfield since February.
Really?
Yeah. I was really shocked at that. I didn't realise. But that was... Yeah, I thought we would score, but we just didn't have it. We didn't really have... I think Arnie had 2 chances, half chances, really. Didn't really do much.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I told you, you know, as soon as Pellegrini was appointed with you guys, I know it's only week 1, you play Liverpool and stuff, but I said to you straight away, is this guy the right guy for you? I mean, he's used to managing teams like City, Madrid. You know, he's managed big teams where he's had big names to work with. Managing a team like West Ham is a completely different challenge.
Yeah. I don't know, it's week 1. I don't know, you can judge it Liverpool team.
No, definitely not. But I did tell you that would be my concern with him. And then, you know, the switch he made in the second half, he took off Declan Rice.
Yeah.
You know, I thought you were getting overrun in midfield. Surely you should be trying to beef midfield up.
I think he was just going for it, wasn't he? That's the thing. Who impressed you for Liverpool?
The front three. Milner as well looked very good. He looked really...
He got two assists in the end.
He did. I mean, he seems to be getting better as he's getting older, which is slightly bizarre. Because I never used to really rate him, you know, about 5 or 10 years ago. Mane was the one that looked lively, which is another one of my frustrations because...
He's my biggest regret as well.
Well, simply because, you know, before you convinced me to put Salah in, I was going to cover Salah by having Mane.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's $3.5 million I had in the bank.
Yeah.
I think Mane will have a good season and I think he might match Salah in terms of stats.
I agree.
You know, and I don't know if you saw sort of post-match, you know, the reporter sort of asked him, you know, are you and Salah sort of having a little competition, you know, who can score more this season? And his response was sort of like, yeah, why not? So, you know, he's up for it.
Yeah.
Whereas Salah was clearly the main man last season, I think the goals are going to be shared a lot more around this team.
Okay, let's quickly move on from that game. Don't want to talk about that anymore.
Wait, was there anyone in from West Ham that looked okay?
No, we all looked shit.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, we all looked shit. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about them. Right, Arsenal City. City smashed it 2-0. Should have been more. Sterling ran the show. He was fantastic. Best player on the pitch by miles. What's your thoughts on the game?
I was going to say, did we learn anything new from this game? For me, no. City have pretty much picked off from where they left off last season.
Mendy.
Yeah.
Mendy, I think we learned a lot.
Mendy looked good. You know, he was pushing up a lot, some good runs, got 2 assists. But then Guardiola got apparently a bit annoyed with him, you know, saying that, you know, he almost thinks he's playing as a centre forward. So is Guardiola going to have a word with him and, you know, hold him back slightly? So that's the only sort of potential drawback with that.
Yeah, at the moment, I think Mendy's essential. Absolutely essential. You've got to have him in your team. And
well, his price has already gone up, hasn't he? It's 6.1. So if you didn't have a City asset, would you go for Mendy when you could get someone like Laporte for 5.5?
I'd go for Mendy all day long.
Just because of his attacking?
Yeah, definitely. You know, FPL General, who's a fantastic FPL player, like top 500 in the last 4 seasons... He said he never does, you know, transfers early on. He waits until Friday. He brought him in on Monday.
Oh,
and
wow.
If he's bringing him in...
He's going to have a poor season? Or
yeah. If he's bringing him in, you know that he...
Yeah.
There's a strong reason because he's a very good player. So, Mendy for me is essential. Worryingly, Sané didn't start. I'm a bit worried for Sané, you know, like... Left out on the Germany squad. Seems to be, there was rumours that he didn't really get on in America, and now Pep's not starting him.
I think he picked up a knock in the Community Shield, so I don't know if that was the reason behind that. I mean, I don't think Pep was entirely happy with his performance at the Community Shield, but I was definitely surprised to see Sterling coming in.
Yeah.
You know, that was not one that I expected at all. And like you said, he did look lively. So... I would expect one out of Sterling, Mahrez and Sané to be pretty much fixed and be playing most games, and then the other two to be rotating. The only issue is, at the moment, we don't know who that's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be very surprised if Sterling's dropped for the next game, but I could see Sané coming in for Mahrez. Mahrez didn't have a particularly good game. You know, he got subbed at 59 minutes. So that's going to be an interesting one to see how that develops.
Yeah. I guess we'll talk a bit about that in the game week two review at me. What City assets bring in, and then finally the lot. I don't think there's much to talk about here. Last game, Southampton Burnley 0-0. Standout things to talk about in this game: Cedric got subbed off on 57 minutes.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, 57 minutes. Pissed for Cedric owners. McCarthy got 11 points, 6 saves, 3 bonus points. Burnley had I don't have the stats with me, but they had a really high XG. I think they should have scored. I don't really know what else to talk about in this game.
Well, I mean, I did think I was just going to say, in terms of Burnley, is, you know, defensively last year they were solid, and it looks like this year as well they're going to rack up a few clean sheets. So
Joe Hart?
You know what? If he keeps playing when, you know, Pope or Heaton's back...
Heaton was on the bench, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if he remains the number one keeper, and he's at 4.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely consider him.
Okie doke. So that's a review of the game week one. We're going to have a quick break and then we will go on to the next sections. Welcome back, guys. There was a lot to get through there, but we're back now and we'll try and get through this as best as we can. So first thing to talk about is the watch list. So decided to put a watch list together, just players that we're keeping an eye on, that I like the look of. So we'll start off in defence. So a few players I'm just keeping an eye on is Holabas, Alonso, PVA, Rudiger and Pereira. Main ones I really like there, I like Pereira was playing like right wing against you guys.
Mm-hmm.
For Leicester, that's the Leicester Pereira, who's should be a right back normally. Weirdly, Amity was playing right back instead of him, so I don't know whether or not Peele's going to switch it next game. Rudiger, mainly because of his BPS baseline. PVA, he scored a goal and it got disallowed and obviously got an assist and a clean sheet. Alonso appears to be the Alonso of last season potentially, and Holabas with his two assists. And any of those players you like, Shez, or any others?
I would actually agree with most of that list. Definitely PVA. I think I thought he was expensive for being a Palace defender, but if he's going to be getting attacking returns, I mean, he was really bombing forward.
Yeah, you convinced me to fucking take him out.
Well, it makes up for the points I got you for Zaha. So he looked good. The only other player which you didn't mention on that list is Schlupp.
Yeah.
If he's going to keep playing on left mid, and he's starter, guaranteed starter week in, week out, at 4.5, he's the only one I would consider, because if he's going to be getting the odd goal, plus the points of Palace keeping clean sheets.
My only worry with him is Meyer, I think their new
Max
signing.
Meyer, yeah.
Yeah, that's it, Meyer. He wasn't fit enough to play, and it's whether or not he takes his place, that's my only concern with Schlupp. In midfield, I've got Madison, Ali, Kante, Sterling, and KDB. Again, just ones that keep an eye on at the moment. Chez, do you like any of them or agree?
Definitely KDB. Like I said, I think he's one of the few City players who I don't expect to be rotated. So I'd like to keep an eye on how he's performing and whether he hits the ground running. Kante, I've told you, I mean, I will keep an eye on him, but I don't think he's one that will be coming into my team. The one that I will be keeping an eye on is Fraser.
Yeah.
You know, he had a great start.
Yeah, he's not in my watch list because I've already got him.
Yeah. You didn't share that one, did you?
And then strikers, I've just got two here, and I think you wanted to add in Kane as well, didn't you? I've got Jimenez and Mitrovic. And what do you think of Kane? Like, why did you want him? I'm worried about him. Like, just doesn't look great.
But he never looks great in August, does he?
Yeah.
So
only for September.
Yeah, from September onwards. But you know Kane is going to be there or thereabouts. You know, he's been top goal scorer last season, you know, for a reason. He's always been there or thereabouts last few seasons. So I will be keeping an eye out on Kane. Obviously, he's very expensive at 12.5.
How are you going to bring him in, though? That's the problem. He's going to have to be a double switch or bring him in on wildcard, right?
Yeah, if I'm bringing him in, he'll probably have to replace Kane, and then I'll have to... Kun Aguero. And then I'll have to find 1.5 somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay, so that's watch list. So we move on to transfers in and out this week, the highest. So we've had a couple of price rises overnight. So I'll go through from goalkeepers, just a couple from each. So Edison's had 44,000 transferred in. Defenders, we've got Wan-Bissaka, 199,000. Mendy, 187,000. And Shaw, 161,000. All gone up by 0.1. Midfield, we've got Neves, 243,000. Mane, 153,000.
Sorry, just on that, Edison's had people, you know, he's had a number of transfers, but his value hasn't actually gone up yet, has he?
No.
He's still at 5.5, yep.
Mane, 153,000. Pogba, 152. Richarlison, 151. And all four of them have gone up by 0.1. And then strikers, we've got Wilson, 89,000, Zaha 63. Neither of those have gone up yet, but I think Wilson might be going up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Any of them you reckon are you know, genuine bandwagons in terms of ones that people should be looking at bringing in, or just too early? Not you personally,
it is early. If you're looking to free up cash somewhere else, then someone like Wan-Bissaka, he looks like he's going to be nailed on for that right back spot.
Whether or not you should be bringing him in before Liverpool is the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a difficult fixture next week. Wan-Bissaka, definitely Mane. I mean, if he's going to be scoring similar points to Salah, or even outscoring him how he did in game week one, then that's a switch there for me right there.
The only two that I think, or three potentially for me, is Mane, Mendy and Wan-Bissaka. Maybe not Wan-Bissaka yet, but possibly the game week off. Depends if you're taking a hit so early on or whatever. But for me, the main two are Mendy and Mane. I think those are the only two that are genuine ones that people should be bringing in so early in.
Yeah, I mean, Mendy's an expensive one. We've both got him in our team and, you know, he was exceptional in game week one. But if you haven't got the funds, it's just whether you go somewhere slightly cheaper, City, but then you're running the risk that, I mean, it's not, Mendy's not guaranteed to start every week.
Yeah.
But it looks likely that him and Walker will be the two starting, and it's just whether that those centre backs get rotated or not.
Yeah. And then transfers out, again, a couple from each. So we've got defenders, the Moso, Trippier, 104,000, Lovren, 83,000, midfielders, Son, 136, Sané, 70,000. Strikers, Uber, 49,000, and Kane, 45. And we've had three price falls. Jones down to 5.4, Sobby down to 4.9, and Martial down to 7.4. So those are the kind of main transfers in and out so far. So I guess let's move on to game week two, Shez.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a quick fire preview, go through each of the games, and what we think the result might be, similar to last week, and one or two players from the game that we like the look of. So first game, we've got exhilarating Saturday lunchtime kickoff, Cardiff and Newcastle.
That's going to be the ball draw. That's the Southampton Burnley from game week one.
No, you reckon?
I think this is going to be a 0-0 or 1-0 to either side. I think it's difficult to call. Depends how Cardiff are at home. But Newcastle didn't look too bad against Tottenham. So I think it'll be a 0-0 or a low-scoring draw.
Okay, any players here I think we should keep an eye on? I mean, the only one that really springs to mind is Kennedy, right?
Yeah, Kennedy, Rondon, if he starts.
If you've got, so Cardiff, the Peltier, the defender, 4.0, one of the only ones, mm-hmm. four defenders. I think this is one to start him in. If you've got him on the bench, I think you should start him, potentially.
It depends who your other defenders are. But I mean, if you're carrying some of the Palace defenders and it's a choice between Peltier and one of the Palace boys, then yeah, I would probably go with Peltier.
Okay. All right, so next one we've got Everton-Southampton.
I would expect Everton to win this. I mean, they held out against Wolves away from home with 10 men for large parts of the game. Richarlison looked lively. Southampton, you know, they've had a few summer signings, but I think they've lost some of their star men. You know, someone like Tadic, who was their sort of creative spark.
Yeah.
They've lost that, and I would expect Everton.
Ings played well for the last few
years. Ings did play well. He only came on. You're right, he did look very lively when he came on. It's just whether he's going to be starting here. I still expect Everton to win this, and I think they might keep a clean sheet as well.
Okay. Leicester and Wolves. I think this could be a high scoring game. Wolves looked like attacking when they were playing, and obviously Leicester played quite well against you guys. I think this could be like a 2-2 or something. Players for me, I mean, what do you think in this one?
I was disappointed with Wolves away to Everton. You know, they played against 10 men and I would have expected them to dominate, but I don't think they did. Leicester, they looked okay, but United sort of sat back against them as well. So I think this might be another draw here. I'm going for a 1-1.
For me, ones to watch out for definitely is Maddison and Jota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Those are the two to watch out for. And also Neves. I'm interested to see, you know, if he scores another one or gets another assist.
Yeah.
he's going to become serious consideration for me.
Spurs, Fulham. What do you reckon?
This could be a hiding.
Yeah? What, 4-0, 3-4-0?
I don't think it'll be 4. But it could be 3. I mean, Spurs be playing at Wembley. That the bigger pitch, they could stretch Fulham. Kane will have, you know, an additional week of match fitness. Ali the same. I would expect Spurs to win this one.
I think Fulham will score, though. I think Mitrovic could score.
They did look lively, but they're playing in a much bigger pitch, and I think Tottenham's experience will show here.
Ones to watch out for Kane here, then, I guess. If he scores like 2-3 goals, all managers that don't have him are going to start shitting themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if Kane gets a brace or a hat trick here, then it's what do you do? Does he become an automatic?
Yeah.
Bring him in for game week 3. Kane and Ali, you know, if Ali's going on a goal scoring run, then he's someone that I'll be keeping an eye out on.
Okay. Next one, West Ham Bournemouth.
You're going to get a hiding.
No way, man. Do you know what? Whenever we play Bournemouth, it's always high scoring. Like 3-2.
That's because neither of you can defend.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think this is going to be like a 2-all, 3-2 type of game. I think we should win. I can definitely see us scoring at least 2 and Bournemouth scoring at least 1 or 2 as well.
I think you're right. I think there will be goals in this. But I think West Ham are still adapting to the way Pellegrini wants them to play. So I think Bournemouth might edge it. And I'm going to go for 2-1.
I am going to go for a 3-2 West Ham win. Arnie to score at least 1. And Fraser to score at least 1. main men for me here. I guess for you it's probably King because you got him in your team. But I think ones to watch for me are Fraser and Arnie. If Arnie scores a couple, I think he'd definitely...
Definitely Fraser for me. You know, if he has another good game, he scores some points, then he suddenly becomes a player.
I don't know if you watched his interview, actually, at the end of the match today. He said, I want to be able to score more goals this year. And he said he was aiming for like 10 to 15 goals this year.
Yeah,
which is it another reason to kind of look at him, mm-hmm. bringing him in. Right, next one we've got is Chelsea-Arsenal. This is going to be a really interesting game. What do you think here?
This will be an interesting game. I mean, can Arsenal really afford to lose this? You know, 2 games, they have 0 points and some of the big boys have 6. They're automatically playing catch-up. Chelsea going to be at home. They looked good in the first game. I know it was only against Huddersfield. But it's going to be a difficult game for Arsenal. I do think Chelsea will edge this just because it's at Stamford Bridge and I'm going to go for a 2-1 Chelsea.
Okay, for me, I reckon it's going to be a 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking to see how Arsenal play this game. Ramsey seemed to be playing a lot higher up than I thought he was the last game. And from game week 3, Arsenal have some really good fixtures. I'll talk about this afterwards when we talk about potential transfers and stuff. But I'm looking at bringing in an Arsenal player in game week 3, and I really want to see which one to bring in. And this game will give me an idea of who I think. Like Mkhitaryan played shit.
I was going
to
say Mkhitaryan was terrible against City, so it's just whether he's going to be dropped for someone like Lacazette.
Yeah. So this really for me is, you know, keeping an eye on who to bring in from Arsenal. Right, next one we've got is Burnley and Watford. This could be like another 0-0, but again, Watford played really well last game, but they're away from home. Burnley, as we know, are really defensive.
Burnley are solid at home. I mean, they're solid away from home as well, but they are a solid team. I'm going to go for 1-0 Burnley here.
I think, I probably agree with you. Probably going with the 1-0.
The player I'd like to see here is Goodmanson.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that people have been speaking about. So let's see how he performs at home.
Okay. Next one, City Huddersfield. Now, this is interesting because most people predict, you know, Huddersfield lost 3-0 to Chelsea at home last game. This is going to be like a 5-0. But City struggled to score against Huddersfield last. It was 0-0, wasn't it?
They did, but they had Jesus starting. And I'm sure that's going to be on Pep's mind. you know, Jesus was struggling to break them down. So does that mean Aguero is an automatic starter for this game?
Yeah, because he was injured last game.
He was. Game, wasn't he? I don't think this is going to be a tight game. You know, I think City will run riot. I don't think they'll score five, but I wouldn't be surprised to see three or four here.
And who's the men here that you reckon are going to run riot?
If Sterling starts and he plays the way he did against Arsenal, he looked lively. You know, if he's going to have a season like he did last year, then at 11 million, he starts to pose some serious questions for me in terms of how I get him into my team.
Yeah. As a replacement for Kun or as well as him?
If Kun starts scoring, then he stays in my team. But if Kun's not scoring, I told you, I think Aubameyang's going to start scoring.
Yeah.
Especially from game week three, where Arsenal got decent fixtures. So at 11 million, I need to start seeing returns from Kun.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm potentially looking at as well. I said I want to bring in an Arsenal player. So do I take out Aguero and switch in with Uber and then take out Sanchez and bring in Sterling potentially or KDB or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we've got Brighton United. So I think you lost last year at
We did. And that's when Lukaku was injured and Mourinho was questioned. And he said, you know, now you know why I say Lukaku's my main man, essentially. Yeah. Because Rashford and Martial weren't great in that game. I think it's going to be a difficult game for United. Again, I said, similar to the Leicester game, I think we will win. But we'll edge it. And I think it'll be a 2-1.
Okay. Main men here for you guys, Pogba.
Pogba.
Lukaku going to start, you reckon?
I would expect Lukaku to start. And then I would expect pretty much the team to be the same as it was that faced Leicester.
Okay, let's move on. So last game is Palace and Liverpool. So this is going to be a really interesting game. I think it's going to be high scoring.
Do you think? I'm not entirely sure. Palace are strong at home. You know, on a Monday night, that atmosphere as well at Selhurst Park. I think it's going to be kicking. And I think Liverpool will win. But I can see Palace scoring against them. I don't think there'll be too many goals. I'm going to go for 2-1 here as well to Liverpool.
Okay, I think it will be 3-2 to Liverpool.
Wow, you think it's going to be that?
Yeah, I think it'll be 3-2 Liverpool. I'm hoping Salah hat-trick. Right, so that's a quick review of game week 2. Before we go for the listener question, Shez, let's just go through our potential transfers and captains for our own teams this week. So, are you planning a transfer?
I'm in two minds whether I save the transfer for next week, so I have two free transfers, or I make a change now, considering some of the price rises. I mean, at the moment, there's no area of my team which I think needs to be changed desperately. There are a few players who are sort of on a warning, and that's, you know, Moura, King. My concern is Mahrez. Will he be starting this game week? But aside from that, you know, I'm reasonably happy with my game week one score, so I don't think there's a need to do anything rash. Doesn't mean I won't make a transfer.
If you were to make a transfer, what is it likely to be?
Maybe switching Lucas Moura for someone, maybe someone like Fraser.
To free up money,
but and also because Mahrez
to Sterling the following week.
I need to see with City. I need to see how the rotation is. If Mahrez doesn't start this second game week, then he'll be out for game week three for sure. But if he does start, I mean, even if he starts and he's not doing anything at 9 million, he's too expensive.
Yeah.
So then, do I need to consider someone like Bernardo Silva?
Yeah, he's one actually we haven't spoken about, is Bernardo Silva this pod.
No,
I think one thing with Bernardo Silva is interesting, like you said to me as well, he's like the second line of attack, isn't he? Do you want someone from City in the second line of attack? That's the only concern, but then it's only 7.5
and he scored.
Yeah,
and he scored, which is a difficult one. It just depends. There are so many questions with him. Is he going to be scoring the odd goal and getting the odd assist here and there? And also, will he be rotated with David Silva once he's back?
Yep. Yep. Okay. And captain?
this is a tough one. I think this week, I think there are two obvious choices. Salah and Aguero. I think if Aguero is guaranteed to start, you go Aguero, home fixture to Huddersfield. Salah's going away from home Monday night, you know, under the lights at Selhurst Park. Much harder fixture. But then what if, you know, Aguero's on the bench and he comes on for the last few minutes?
Yeah, that's only concern.
So it's almost, you know, how risky do you want to be? You know Salah's going to start, but then again, is he going to do anything against Palace? How about you, Sham? What are your potential transfers?
So, yeah, transfers-wise, I'm 99% going to hold. The only one that I was considering was Sanchez to KDB. However, now I'm thinking I want Sterling, potentially. But obviously, I don't have enough money to go Sanchez to Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to give Sanchez another go. I brought him in for a reason. I think I should give him a shot. My team's in good shape. So there's no reason for me. The only reason why I wanted to was thinking about KDB was because I only have two City midfielders.
I was going to say, you don't have the full three City quota.
I've only got two, and I purposely only have two because I didn't know who was going to start banging for City.
Well,
so
you also don't know who's going to be playing for them.
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
Performing well, so
a lot of my drafts had three City, and then I was like, well, if I have it, had like Bernardo Silva as the other City player, but then I was worried that if Bernardo Silva's not playing, and then I need to bring in someone else, it's a lot more difficult. So I'm probably going to hold. In terms of captain, I was almost 100% confident I was going to go on Salah. But then I read something on Twitter and about Salah versus Aguero, and had a big case for Aguero, and now I'm like genuinely like 50-50. There's also a part of me, if you know, I don't think I'm going to do this because this season I'm playing a lot safer. Mendy is a good option.
As captain.
A lot of people are talking about Mendy. I don't necessarily, I think if you had a poor game week and you want to take a gamble and that's the type of game that you're playing, then I think it's a good gamble. I don't think I will ever personally captain a defender, but you're almost guaranteed a clean sheet, and look how we played the last game. I really don't know. I think my only concern with not captaining Salah is his ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And Aguero's is obviously a lot lower, so yeah, that's really, I'm 50-50 at the moment, but I'm swaying more towards Salah, I think, at the moment.
Okay, excellent. Cool. So are we ready to move on to our listener questions?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So we've got a question from Rotations Alter Ego. Who would you tip to be a nice option after perhaps having a lower scoring game week one? The first one that jumps to mind is Madison. Thoughts on him and his potential as an FPL asset?
Okay, good question. So, I really like Madison. However, I don't think I would switch to him straight away because he came off a little bit early. I'm a bit worried about PL in terms of how he's going to shape up his team. He like changes formations all the time. Don't really like him as a manager. I'd probably want to see how Madison does for a few games before I bring him in. A player that you could bring in if you want to punt is Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're playing away against West Ham. We've just conceded four goals. Bournemouth and West Ham is generally a very high-scoring game. Fraser played fantastic. I really like him. And at 5.5, I think he's a decent gamble.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. He's definitely one that I'm keeping an eye on.
So as a gamble, I would go for him. If you're looking at higher price, then you know you could potentially look at, I don't know, Moura, but he didn't play that great.
Didn't look great. I mean, if you didn't necessarily have the best of game week ones, maybe look at improving your back line. You know, some defenders had great first week returns, so maybe look at someone who's going to be providing you a clean sheet but also providing those attacking returns. Okay, moving on to the next question, which is from Peter Ovington. City's midfield, this appears to be more like a statement rather than a question, but we'll treat it like as if it's a question. City's midfield looks like a minefield. Still, no need to rush into getting any of them. Rotation is very likely into early game weeks.
So yeah, I agree. It is. I guess we'll talk a little bit about the City midfield. I mean, I think we spoke about it already, but yeah, City's midfield is pretty much a minefield. I think if you are going to look at City, Sterling is one to go for. I know you're saying you're a bit worried in terms of whether or not he's going to rest him because he just played.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know with Sterling whether Pep potentially rushed him back just for the Arsenal game. He realised it's a difficult game away from home. Is he going to give him a rest this week and potentially bring in Sané? Or, does he think Mahrez wasn't great and he brings Sané in for Mahrez? Or does he start with the same two? So that's the problem is, you're playing Pep Roulette and no one really knows. I think you've got to have some City coverage. You will be running the risk that they may not be starting. But as long as you've got players on your bench, that if these guys don't come on, you'll still be getting points elsewhere. But I mean, if City are scoring 4 or 5 goals, you've got to have that sort of coverage.
Okay, next one.
Next one is from Ryan King, and this is sort of a two-part question. So he's saying, is there a good case for focusing on a balance and rotation and building around Salah? And he made an example team where there are no big hitters other than Salah. And he goes on to say, so you have a full playing 15 where all players are capped at 6 or 7 million. This means you don't have to fodder or duds and perhaps maximise your team value. This squad is covered by 13 different teams and there's still 1 million in the bank too. So essentially what he's saying is, you have a team with Salah, no other real big hitters, and then you've got a lot of mid-price players at 6 or 7 million.
I don't like that idea personally. I think you would struggle, if the likes of Sterling come in form, Kane, Aubameyang, KDB, you've got those midfielders, you're going to be going without them then.
Well, also the point you're also highlighting is the fact that you're naming City and Liverpool players.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So do you want to be spreading your squad across, some of the lower teams when you should be, I believe, maximising your City coverage and your Liverpool coverage and having 3 of each? So I wouldn't recommend spreading that across 13 teams. There are City, we do expect City and Liverpool to be the top 2 teams in the league, the top scorers in the league, potentially the ones that keep the most clean sheets as well. So I appreciate that Salah does take up a percentage of your budget, but you do need to be having some other City assets and Liverpool assets as well.
No, I agree.
Next question is from EL Wise. Do you think the big six teams have their talisman? I'm wondering whether Hazard fits this definition.
Good question, EL. Yeah, I think so. Although it's slightly different with the big six teams because you've probably got like a couple of players that could fit into that, haven't you? I think definitely for Chelsea, Hazard is their talisman because he's the one that is the most lively. He's the one that does the most stuff.
Well, he's the one that makes them tick, essentially. He's their superstar.
Yeah.
And you would expect once he's back, he'd be back on penalties.
Yeah. But like Liverpool, for example, my brain would automatically say Salah, but if Salah wasn't playing, I could still see Liverpool playing well and scoring and winning games without him, especially with Mane.
Mm-hmm. And they've got Shaqiri to bring off the bench as well.
Yeah. So not necessarily with Liverpool. With City, again, there's so much rotation in there. I don't think they've got... I think the only one that potentially would be a talisman is KDB,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to pick on one. And then what have you got? You've got Spurs, so Kane is definitely their talisman. But then, obviously, you've got Eriksen, Alice. It's really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, United, you've got a few as well. I mean, you would expect Lukaku to be our top goal scorer.
Pogba.
I'd say it's Pogba to chip in with a few. Let's see how Sanchez does this season as well.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Next question is from Jason Dorney. With City looking fantastic again, who do you think are the 3 essential players for game week 2, bearing in mind they have Huddersfield and a great run of fixtures? And is 3 City players a must?
Okay, so the only player that I think is essential is Mendy. Is definitely essential.
But do you not think you've got to have some attacking coverage?
Oh yeah, no. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any other City players. I'm saying he's the one that's essential, and then you can, I guess, take your pick from the others. So the problem is when you in the midfield, you don't know what you're going to be, you know, you don't know if they're going to be starting. So you've got two options for me personally. I think you should need to have Mendy, and then either Aguero or Jesus. Personally, I would go Aguero. And then it's up to you whether or not you want to go double City defence and go maybe Walker or Laporte, or you want to take the risk and go with the midfield. But I think three is really important. I personally don't have three at the moment. That's because I'm holding my transfer and waiting to see who's best for me to bring in.
Yeah, I agree. I think you need to have three City players. So those are all of our questions this week. Thank you all for sending those through.
Okay, so is there anything else that you want to mention before I quickly wrap up, Shez?
No, I think, you know, we've gone through game week one in quite a bit of detail. You know, game week two, you know, we did this pods pretty early on the week, and so there may be some news coming out of injuries and from the press conferences that suggest some players may play and others may be dropped. So again, you know, our teams could change slightly, but I don't think either one of us really expects to necessarily make a transfer. We might make the odd one, but otherwise we'll probably hold our transfers until game week two. And I guess if you've had a good first game week where you've scored, you know, 60 plus, then you could probably afford to do that, unless there's an area which you think needs urgent attention.
Yeah, one last thing that I just want to mention is I put a captaincy poll up on our Twitter page. We had something like, I don't know, 70 votes or something. And it was split 45% to Salah, 44% to Kun, and then the rest was like other. So I think captaincy is a real dilemma at the moment for the Twitter community, and I think from our conversation it's pretty much similar.
It's a difficult one to call. I think there are two.
Go with your gut.
Yeah, definitely go with your gut. I mean, like we said, you know, Salah's nailed on to start. Aguero might be rotated, but
okay, so thanks for listening, guys. You can follow us on Twitter at FPL2Guys1Cup. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn for our podcast. Please retweet us and like. We want to get the podcast out there. If you like it, put a review. Tell all your friends, family. We really appreciate all your support and your questions. And we've got our league as well, so don't forget to join the league. And the joining code automatic sign up is on our Twitter page as well. So have a great game week, and we will speak to you next week.
Goodbye.